told you this morning, if you were here, we were going to look in Genesis chapter 12 with the promises in that chapter that God made to Abram. So we're going to spend a little bit of time looking back at that. You know, I know that it is true that nobody likes to be lied to. Nobody likes for somebody to tell them something that's not true, or to tell them something, I'm going to do something and not do it. Now, sometimes it's done maliciously, and sometimes it's done accidentally. We don't always intend to lie to somebody or tell somebody we're going to do something and not do it. Sometimes things get in the way, and sometimes we simply forget. Sometimes they're extenuating circumstances, but sometimes people just do it maliciously. Some people like to go around telling people things that just aren't true. And as humans, we don't like that. We like for people to tell us the truth. We like to be around people that we can believe in, that we can trust. You know, there are a lot of people in the world today who don't believe in God. There are a lot of people in the world today who don't believe in God's promises or things that we have say, you know, God promised this or God promised that. And they go, I don't really believe in that. I don't believe in that whole God thing. You know, the Bible, yeah, I know it's a good book and there's some good things in there, but I just don't really believe that all that stuff is true. And I don't know what I believe about God, and I don't know that I really believe that He promised people thousands of years ago something and that He's held those things, or He's kept those promises that He's made. And there are other people who kind of believe it, but maybe think, yeah, they don't understand God's promises. They don't understand how God keeps His promises. And we'll look back and we'll see there are people alive today who think that there are certain promises that God made that has never been kept. And this is one of those promises in Genesis chapter 12. A lot of people have difficulty today believing that this promise has already been kept. We're waiting on it to come about, or some people are. Genesis chapter 12. Look at these verses with me. I'm going to start in 12, verse 1, read through the first three verses. So now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in your family, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then skip down to verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, and to your descendants I will give this land. Now, this is what we would call that nation, land, seed promise. This is something that God spoke to Abraham, and He said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'm going to give you land. And He kind of told them what land is going to be theirs. And He said, I'm going to give this land to you, and through you, or through your seed, all the peoples of the world are going to be blessed. Now, there's one thing today, there's still people waiting on the people Israel to inherit their land. There are people who do not believe that Israel has ever received their land. And we do things a little bit out of ignorance sometimes, and I think that we support Israel. I think one of the reasons we do that is just in case this promise hasn't been fulfilled, when God comes back, He won't be mad at us for not having helped those people over there, because that's what the promise is all about. Now, I want to share with you some things, a few verses tonight, that show us in God's Word that all this promise has been kept. God believes about His promises. God is serious about His promises. Now, the time frame, you understand, when this promise is made, the flood has already happened, but the law has yet to be given. Okay? So we're in that gap in between those times. Now flip over to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, starting in verse 12, we read, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a terror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 600 years. Now, here he is saying that your people are not going to be in this promised land. They're going to go away somewhere for a long time, and they're going to be somewhere that's not theirs for a good length of time of history. 400 years, they're going to be away. And then you skip down a little bit further in verse 18 of that same chapter. It says, "And on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, the Kenizzite, and the Kedemite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite.'" And he's saying, here's the land, and do you hear what he said? "I have already given this land to your descendants." It's already theirs. Now, they're not going to enjoy it yet, obviously, because they're not even born yet. He's talking about future generations that are going to be able to enjoy that land. But he said, it's going to happen, and here's the land. I want you to see it, Abram. I want you to realize what it is. And he outlined it. He said, all of this land is going to be theirs. I have already given it to them. Now, you don't get to take possession of it yet. And it's going to be hundreds of years after they've been a land not their own, but they are going to get it because I've already, in my mind, I have already given this to your descendants. Now, in chapter 26 of Genesis, Isaac is here. And in verse 3 of chapter 26 of Genesis, he says, "Now sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, for to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law." He's renewing the same promise. He said, I'm telling Isaac, through you, I'm going to renew this promise. The same thing I told your father, I'm going to tell you also. I'm going to make a great nation of you. And I'm going to bless all the people of the world through you. And he's giving them this same promise again. And in chapter 28, he renews this same promise again, only this time he renews it with Jacob. And in chapter 28, verse 13, "Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will be spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" He renews this. He wants his people to remember that he keeps his promises. I want you to remember this. I want you to share this with your descendants. I want you to tell them and teach them what's going to happen one day so that they'll be ready for it. Now, we know that God starts getting his people ready. And a little bit later, Joseph goes into captivity and he sets up, and finally God raises him to be the second man in charge of all of Egypt. Who's going to go to a foreign country that's not theirs? Nobody. Joseph goes ahead, and then all of his family comes. And they move there. And they start dwelling there. Now, let's fast forward just a little bit. Look at Exodus chapter 12 with me. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. "Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from Egypt." There's that time. Now, why do you think God used so much time getting his people ready? What was one of the promises? He said, I'm going to make of you what? A great nation. It's pretty difficult to make a great nation out of a family, isn't it? If Abraham and his wife and maybe a few kids, that doesn't really make a nation, does it? So he's having to get them ready. He's having to let a few generations go by where there are some people to be actually become a nation. They need those people. So in chapter 12 and verse 37, you back up just a few verses, it says that there were 600,000 men coming out of Egypt. And then you would add all the rest of the family and the children and all that. So there are more than 1 million people now coming out of Egypt. It took them 400 years in Egypt to grow into a nation of people where God is ready to begin using them as a nation, to call them His nation, His people. And now they're ready to come out. And God leads them out of Egypt. And you flip over to Exodus chapter 20. And we know what happens here. They've been led out of Egypt, and they go to Sinai or Horeb, and they receive. What do they receive there? The law. God gives them the Ten Commandments, and He starts. This is one more part of that thing that makes a people a nation. You've got to have people. You've got to have land. And you've got to have some kind of law, government, right? So God has now given them all of these things. Now He says, now it's time to go where? Now it's time to go and possess the land that I gave you 400 years ago. It's time to go and take possession of that land. And He raises up Joshua. And He says, now Joshua, you're the one who's going to lead them into the land so that the people will finally be able to realize the promise that I spoke to them all those years ago. Now the people have everything to become that great nation that God promised Abraham they would be. Now, there's three things that we need to remember about this promise. One of those things is this. That promise came with a warning or a condition. Now, if you would look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 is kind of a chapter that's called the Covenant of Blessing and Cursing. And the first 14 verses of this chapter talk about all the things that God is going to bless the people with. He said, I'm going to bless you in all of these ways. Now, verse 1, it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. And He says, you'll be blessed in the city, and you'll be blessed in the country, and you'll be blessed with offspring of your body and produce of your ground and offspring of the breast and the increase of your herd and the young flock. And He's going to go on through the next several verses. You're going to be blessed over and over and over and over. And God is going to do things for you that you can't even imagine. God is going to take care of you. God loves you, and He's made these promises, and He's going to keep them. But there's a condition. Did you hear what He said? If you stay faithful to God, He will continue blessing you from now on. In verse 15, there's this great big three-letter word there. And He says, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe all His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And if you read the rest of that chapter, it says God is going to curse you, and He's going to do things to you, and He's going to take things away from you, and He's not going to allow you to keep the things He's given you. His blessings are conditional. You've got to remain faithful to God if you want to be blessed. Now, turn over to Joshua chapter 21. Actually, turn to 23 first, chapter 23 of Joshua, and skip down to verse 15. And Joshua says at the end of his life as he's talking to the people, "Now it shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you." A condition. Again, God said, if you follow me, Israel, I will bless you. Just like I promised I would do with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, I will keep my promises. If you follow me and you listen to me and you obey me, I will bless you all of your life. But if you refuse to follow me and you refuse to keep my commandments, then I will curse you. I will take all of those blessings away from you. You will not get to keep that land I've given you. You're not going to keep it. Now, is he being secretive about it? God is pretty blunt, isn't he? You've got to follow me. You've got to be faithful. There are conditions upon following God, upon him blessing his people. There have always been conditions. Now then, turn back to Joshua chapter 21. And skip down to verse 43 in Joshua 21. Now, the first thing we need to remember is those promises come with a warning or a condition. The second thing we need to remember is all those promises have been fulfilled. Now, look at Joshua. Joshua has led them into the promised land. They've gotten the law at Sinai under Moses. They were let in. They've conquered all the land. The land flowing with milk and honey has been given to them. Joshua, it says there's peace around, that they've conquered all of the land. They've taken possession of it. And verse 43, Joshua says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give them to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass." Everything that he promised has been fulfilled. Joshua is standing before the people and he's saying, "Do you know what God promised Father Abraham? And you know what he renewed, what promise he renewed with Isaac and with Jacob. And we know that. We have those things written down. And we know God promised those things to us. And now we are finally here. I know it's been hundreds of years, but he told us it would be that long. And there are a lot of our ancestors that did not get to enjoy where we are. Abraham didn't even get to be here. Isaac didn't come. Jacob didn't come. None of those people, none of the patriarchs are here with us today, but God has fulfilled his promises. Look around us. Look at all the land that we have. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it perfect? Isn't it exactly what God said it would be? Now, I want you to realize, people, God has fulfilled his promises to us. Joshua will say it again in 23:14. He said, "Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed." The last thing out of his mouth is what he's saying. God keeps his promises. Now why shouldn't we continue following him? Can we expect anything greater than what God has done for us? "I'm leaving you. I'm about to die," is what he's saying. "Physically, I will no longer be here with you. I won't lead you into any more battles. I won't rule. I won't do anything here. You can't ask me questions, but God will always be here. God is the one that gave us everything anyway. It had nothing to do with me. Follow him. Be faithful to God." And if you were to flip over to 1 Kings chapter 8, in 1 Kings chapter 8, we'll skip down to verse 56, Solomon. Some years later, Solomon says in verse 56, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to His people Israel, according to all that He promised. Not one word has failed of all His good promises, which He promised through Moses, His servant." Now, he's going to go back to Moses because Moses was telling his people, we're coming out of Egypt and we're going to go into the promised land like God promised us we would. And we're going to take hold of that land. God's going to lead us there and He's going to give it to us. And God gave the law through Moses. So he goes back and he says, you know, these promises from God that Moses even shared with us, here's Solomon the king saying, everything has come to pass. Look at everything God has done for us. What's lacking? Is there anything lacking? No. Everything has been fulfilled. Now, so two things that we need to remember. One, promises that he spoke to Abraham came with a condition or with a warning. The second thing we need to always remember is though the promises were fulfilled. Joshua says they were fulfilled. Solomon says they were fulfilled. Everyone knew that they were fulfilled in those places, and we can read about them in even other passages. The third thing is this: God punishes the unfaithful. We remember that. We already looked at that. But Jeremiah, turn to Jeremiah with me. In Jeremiah chapter 32. In Jeremiah chapter 32, you know, Jeremiah is talking to an unfaithful Israel. And he's warning them. He's telling them, if you don't change who you are, if you don't quit behaving the way you're behaving, God is going to bring these Chaldeans, these Babylonians down, and they're going to conquer us. And they're going to carry us off into captivity. And he says in 32, beginning in verse 22. Let's look at, start at verse 21. "You brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm and with great terror. And He gave them this land which you swore to their forefathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and they took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice or walk in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have made all this calamity come upon them." The Babylonians came in and they conquered Israel. And they took all those people, or most all of them, out and sent them in different places around their kingdom. Just like God said would happen, happened. If you stay faithful, I'm going to continue blessing you. All the way back in Deuteronomy when Moses is writing those things. You know, God told us if we're faithful, He's going to bless us. If we're not faithful, He's going to take all of those blessings away from us. But even in the midst of this, there's healing promised. In chapter 33 of Jeremiah and 14, he says, "Behold," 33:14, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. And in those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which ye shall be called: the Lord is our righteousness. I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring about that." And what he's talking about, what Jeremiah is alluding to, is the last part of the promise that God made to Abraham. I'm going to be faithful to that promise. I'm going to save my people. I'm going to save them. And he talks about even a little bit of a remnant. And Ezra and Nehemiah are going to go back and they're going to rebuild the temple and they're going to rebuild the walls and they're going to do all of those things. But God never said, I'm going to make you a great kingdom, a physical kingdom again like it once was. I'm going to let a remnant go back. But that's not what the promise, that's not this righteous branch, that's not what he's talking about. God has never wanted to destroy his people. He's always wanted to save them. He's always wanted to bless his people. He's always wanted us to understand that he created his people in his image from the very beginning, Adam and Eve on. All of us have been created in his image. Today, though, are we waiting? Are we somehow waiting on Israel to be blessed? And these promises spoken to Abraham to be finalized with Israel. Is Israel waiting to gain their country back? Is Israel waiting to become a great nation again? There are people who believe that. And I'm going to tell you, scripturally, biblically, no. God has already told us all those things have been fulfilled. Whether it was immediately when they went in the promised land with Joshua, or whether it was later with Solomon, or all the way into Jeremiah, all through those years, every one of those prophets or kings, they all said the same thing. Everything that God promised has come to pass. We're not waiting on anything. God has fulfilled those things. Absolutely not. We're not waiting on that promise to be fulfilled. It's already been fulfilled. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is the most important part of that promise to Abraham, and it's been fulfilled also. But as Jeremiah was saying, there's coming a day when this righteous branch of David will come. The final part of that promise, the seed promise. He said, and in through your seed or through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now let's look. Flip over to the New Testament. We'll end with this passage in Galatians chapter 3. I think this is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in all the Bible, Galatians chapter 3. There is so much information here. There is so much about who we are, and this is a passage that we need to read a lot. In verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3, even in 6, we'll start in 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. He says, now, foreseeing the future, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles in a long time in the future, he preached the gospel through Abraham when he said, and through your seed, all the nations will be blessed. It's preaching the gospel through Abraham? We didn't even have the law yet. And he's already preaching the gospel? Sure he was. Why? Because he is preaching about Jesus Christ. He was preaching about the Messiah coming. And look down at verse 16 and 17. He says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And he does not say, and to seeds, referring to many, but to one, and to your seed. That is Christ. God made a promise to Abraham, and he said, and in your seed, all nations will be blessed. The gospel was being preached hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was ever physically born and took on human nature. Verse verse 17. What I am saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. The law wasn't the promise. The promise was the seed that Christ, the Messiah, was going to come through Abraham's descendants, and it was through him that all the world is going to be blessed. He said, it wasn't the law. The law wasn't what I was about. The law is not the great thing that I tried to bring about for my people. What I wanted my people to know, what I wanted my people to realize, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's what I was bringing about. Redemption for my people. That's what I was bringing about. Everything God promised Abraham thousands of years ago has been fulfilled. We are waiting on nothing today. Isn't our God an awesome God? We are, as the verse I just read in Galatians 3 and 7, we are sons of Abraham if we believe in Jesus Christ. If we believe in the gospel that was preached to Abraham, and we believe in Christ Jesus, then we are sons of Abraham, he says. And in chapter 3, verse 29, it says, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. How powerful is that? God promised way back then that He was going to bless me through Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel through Abraham for us to this very day. If we believe in Him, then we are part of that promise. If we belong to Jesus Christ, we are children of inheritance. We are children of promise. What an amazing thing it is to be a child of God. Isn't it an awesome thing to look at how God brings things about in His own way? God is an awesome God. But just as I said earlier, there were conditions. God made a promise, but He put conditions on it. There are conditions on us as well today. It says, if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we believe. The problem today is there are so many countless numbers of people who don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. That don't believe He is the Lord, the Savior of their life. And there are too many people who are willing to deny that and go off on their own tangents and say, I'm going to live any way I want to live. I want to do the things I'm going to do in this world. I'm going to follow after whatever religious ideas that I want to follow after. And I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need His Word. I don't need to follow Him. The problem is, God says, the only way I can bless you is if you believe in Jesus Christ. Paul writes very plainly that all spiritual blessings are found in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Every single spiritual blessing is in Jesus Christ. There is absolutely nothing found outside of Him. Nothing. We can argue about it, but God says there's nothing there. There is nothing outside of Christ. And there's only two passages that tell us how to get in Christ. But if you were to look up, and I know I've mentioned this before, look up in a concordance and in Him or in Christ or in Jesus Christ and find out what's in Him. Other than every spiritual blessing, the New Testament's filled with those phrases. And it'll say, we find justification in Jesus Christ. We find forgiveness of sins in Him. We find sanctification in Him. We find peace with God in Him. We find all of these things in Jesus Christ and nothing outside of Him. In Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6:3 tell us, they're the only two verses that I know in all of Scripture that tell us how to get into Jesus Christ. It says we are immersed into Him. Now, I know there's nothing magical about water, but that's what God laid out. He said, you know what? If you want to be a child of God, if you want to be in Jesus Christ, if you want to be clothed in Him, if you want to enjoy all those blessings, then you've got to be immersed into Him, into His possession. You've got to give yourself to Him. You've got to accept that He is the Lord and Savior of your life. It's pretty simple to do. But then we've got to live it. I don't know where you are tonight in your life. Maybe you've become a child of God. Maybe you have been immersed into Christ and have accepted all those blessings. And maybe you've tried to take your life back and trying to rule in your own life. The condition of eternal salvation is that we continue believing every day that Jesus is our Lord and Christ. Are you struggling with that power in your life? Who rules you? Who rules your life? Have you given your life to Him? He won't do anything to ever make you regret that decision. There may be some people in your life who want you to regret it, but there is nothing that God will ever do to make you regret giving your life to Jesus Christ. God is a God who keeps His promises. The promises that were spoken thousands of years ago to Abraham have been completely and totally fulfilled. Nothing that He promised hasn't been fulfilled. Israel had their land, and we have been blessed. All nations have been blessed in Jesus Christ. Again, I'm not sure where you are, what you need in your life. Maybe you need prayers, and we would love to do that. That's one of those spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, the people outside of Christ don't have that blessing. Anybody can pray, but only Christians have the right of knowledge that God hears our prayers. Only children of God have the right to call Him Father. People who are not Christians don't have that right. And we have that privilege tonight. We can pray to Him as a family. If that's what you need tonight, we would love to do that with you. If there's anything in your life that we can do to help you tonight, we would love to take that time right now to help you. The Lord is inviting you to anything that you need. He wants to bless you. If there's anything we can do, anything we can help you with in a public way, we'd ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together.